Please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with your presence. Thank you for giving us another Sabbath day to gather together and to worship you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit's presence, the forgiveness of sins, the cleansing from unrighteousness, the latter rain, the faith that moves mountains, and the character of your Son. Thank you for guiding us each and every day through our lives. Thank you for the trials and tribulations that we went through this week to get us to this Sabbath. Thank you for keeping us safe as we even slept. Father, there's a few of us that are in need a little bit more so than others. We lift up all those that are on our prayer list, of course, especially those that are lost. And we especially lift up those that help us do the work that you've called us to do. But we would like to also lift up the Nelson family's grandmother, who just went through surgery and has to get strong enough to go through another one, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And then Scott and Ellen have a sister that's in need of the truth, your truth, and not man's truth. And then Lynn has been sharing your truth with her neighbors, Jose, Angelica, Angel, and Miriam. And we pray that you bless them. I also want to lift up Tim and Gail out in Kentland, Indiana, that your presence be made known to them in a nice way today. And I also lift up myself a little bit here. I got a little bit of a tummy thing going on. And so I thank you for healing me and giving me that which I need to continue on. We thank you for all these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Chrissy and Boo. Who's Boo? There's a new one. Hi, Boo. That's a cute name, I guess. Okay, yeah, that's, yeah, it's locked in, Bonnie. Thank you. All right. So, for those of you listening on the radio, thank you for being here. We're in Ministry of Healing still, chapter 40. We might be able to get through it today. I don't know. This we're on page, let's see, the bottom of page 478, and it's titled Plans for the Future. Oh, 11-year-old brother, Boo. Well, how do, Boo? So, just saying hi to there's an 11, I guess, a little kid that's new today. Along with this, a couple, I thought I saw a couple of new names in here. Oh. Oh, Nathan, okay, all right, hi, yeah, hi, remember him. So, all right. Okay, in Ministry of Healing, page 478, it says, many are unable to make definite plans for the future. Their life is unsettled. They cannot discern the outcome of affairs, and this often fills them with anxiety and unrest. Let us remember that the life of God's children in this world is a pilgrim life. I used to have a bumper sticker one time that said, just visiting this planet. So that's what we're really doing. We're just a bunch of pilgrims here. She says, we have not wisdom to plan our own lives. It is not for us to shape our future. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. And it's kind of like what we were talking about last night, too. Just leaving it all in God's hands and just completely trusting in him 100%. Not seeking after a career. I mean, there's nothing wrong with careers and such, but if you're called to do the work of the Lord, even if you have a career, you can do it at that point, too. But especially in today's world, planning for the future, it doesn't seem to make that much sense, seeing how there's not a lot of future left. We don't know the day or the hour, but we do know the season we're living in. She says, Christ in his life on earth made no plans for himself. He accepted God's plans for him, and day by day the Father unfolded his plans. So should we depend on God, that our lives may be the simple outworking of his will. As we commit our ways to him, he will direct our steps. Too many, in planning for a brilliant future, make an utter failure. Let God plan for you. As a little child, trust to the guidance of him who will keep the feet of his saints as he says in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 9. God never leads his children otherwise than they would choose to be led. If they could see the end from the beginning and discern the glory of the purposes which they are fulfilling as co-workers with him. Now, this is kind of the way that we should, well, this is absolutely the way that we should always direct our lives, as little children, of course, letting him have complete control, knowing that he never leads us. And this would stop worry. And the thing that comes to mind is, if you are keeping his law and doing to the best of your ability, you know, living your life to the best of your ability, and whatever truth you understand from him, because he's not going to hold it against you if you don't know you're doing wrong. You know, he winks at our times of ignorance. But if the information that you have had from him, from your studies or whatever the case may be, and you run with it to the best of your ability, like the thief on the cross, with that little bit of information that he had, you will gain heaven. And just trust in him. Don't let, even if you make a wrong decision, you know, I got to get used to that too. Like if I make a wrong decision, because I've seen it so many times in my life, you know, planning for the future or whatever, and I make a wrong step, I still got to trust my Father that he is going to allow me to fail in that step, and he'll gradually or mercifully get me out of it and bring me into his next step. You know, because I still have some apprehension about certain things that we're doing here, because there's no control on my end, and that's always been my problem. That's why, like I said last night, there's a lot of things that I've done in my past that I've wanted to do for the Lord, and they all failed. But then when I finally decided to just let go, let him have complete control over it, it works out so much better. But still, every now and then, when he wants you to do these big things, it could, you know, there's a little bit of apprehension sometimes. And I praise his name that he helps me through that, because sometimes the devil likes to tempt me to despair or worry, if you will, or whatever. And I don't like doing that because I want to trust him. This next little section is called Wages. And it says, when Christ called his disciples to follow him, he offered them no flattering prospects in this life. He gave them no promise of gain or worldly honor, nor did they make any stipulation as to what they should receive. To Matthew, as he sat at the receipt of custom, the Savior said, follow me. And he left all, rose up and followed him. Luke chapter 5, verses 27 and 28. Matthew did not, before rendering service, wait to demand a certain salary equal to the amount received in his former occupation. And think about that. He was a tax collector. So this man saw a lot of money in his life and knew what the value of the dollar was. And he knew what the value of work was. Like he knew that certain wages were given to certain people. He was a tax collector, so he knew exactly what the norm was for certain jobs. But Matthew didn't even bother saying, well, you know, if I'm going to follow you, I'd kind of like this, that. No, he didn't. And that's the way we have to be. We can't look at our walk as a career. It's a calling. And the Lord will, you know, our bread and waters will be sure even before the time of Jacob's trouble, because we as a family have seen it. We've seen many times that we didn't have any money at all, and yet we had food somehow. So just trust him. She says, without question or hesitation, he followed Jesus. It was enough for him that he was, to be with the Savior, that he might hear his words and unite with him in his work. So it was with the disciples previously called. When Jesus bade Peter and his companions follow him, immediately they left their boats and their nets. Some of the disciples had friends dependent on them for support, but when they received the Savior's invitation, they did not hesitate and inquire, how shall I live and sustain my family? Think about that, too, because this stops a lot of us. This stopped me many years ago. About a year or so before the Twin Towers, I kept getting this nudge from the Spirit to go full-time in the ministry. And I kept on, as I was in prayer, I kept reminding the Father. I says, look, when I first, you know, agreed to do this work back in the early 80s, I promised you I would never ask for money. And I haven't. And no one sends it. You know, there was absolutely nobody donating to the ministry, and I've been doing it 17 years, you know. And And I said, Father, I'm concerned. I got a wife. I got 8 kids, you know, the whole 9 yards. I had to take care of the bills. And I was fearful. I was more concerned about, you know, the fleshly things, if you will. It's kind of like the way the fear-mongering preachers are doing today with the economic collapse and all this other stuff they keep preaching. I just got an email this morning, too. Make sure she's down the right number. I think there's somebody on the phone. Let me just check real quick. Tess. Yeah, I came through. So somebody's on the phone. Okay. Yeah, just make sure she's down the right number there, Henry, because I don't know what's happening. It seems to be working on this end. Oh, Craig's my... Oh, the phone's down? It seems to be working on this end. I don't get that. There's no sound on the phone. I don't know. I dialed the right number, pretty sure. Both phones are saying muted. Okay. Hold on a second here.
You're right back. There is one person on there.
Because like when you come on, it tells you how many people are on there, and it just told me there was one person on there. So, all right. But anyway, as I was saying, I was fearful, and I didn't want to. I didn't have the guts to trust the Lord, and so I finally made a decision one day as I was in prayer. I says, you know. I actually asked him for a golden fleece kind of a thing. I wanted an answer to a specific prayer. And he answered it. And as I promised, I went full time, even though there was no one donating. And then, well, that was 6 years ago. So praise his name. Going on, she says that they were obedient to the call. And when afterward Jesus asked them, when I sent you without purse and script and shoes, lacked you anything? They could answer nothing. Luke 22:35. Today the Savior calls us, as he called Matthew and John and Peter to his work. If our hearts are touched by his love, the question of compensation will not be uppermost in our minds. We shall rejoice to be co-workers with Christ, and we shall not fear to trust his care. If we make God our strength, we shall have clear perceptions of duty, unselfish aspirations. Our life will be actuated by a noble purpose, which will raise us above sordid motives. So praise his name for that. This next section is called God Will Provide. And again, keep in mind, even if you make, because this is, I'm trying to convince myself, as you can tell, you know, because I still have a few issues about some of the things, some of the steps that were taken recently. And I've got to understand, even if I make a wrong decision, he's going to protect us and, you know, we'll get out of the thing. I mean, it won't kill us. So, and I'm a firm believer in whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So, because we've gone through quite a few trials as a family and as individuals as well. So we've seen his hand move plenty of times. So continuing, it says, many who profess to be Christ's followers have an anxious, troubled heart because they are afraid to trust themselves with God. They do not make a complete surrender to him, for they shrink from the consequences that such a surrender may involve. Unless they do make this surrender, they cannot find peace. Amen to that. There are many whose hearts are aching under a load of care because they seek to reach the world's standard. They have chosen its service, accepted its perplexities, adopted its customs. Thus, their character is marred and their life made a weariness. And this is one of the reasons a lot of those, this is, I would think, the reason the 501c3 preachers out there have fallen into the trap they fall into. Let's just say that money isn't coming in as well as it should, as per their own opinion, and the government approaches them with a 501c3 carrot to dangle in front of them, and they figure, well, at least we'll save a few thousand dollars a year. Let's go for it, you know. And before you know it, they're told that, look, since you've made it a contract with the government and have joined your church with your state, you have to preach. You can't preach certain things. You can preach whatever you want except for this, you know. And this is why their life is made into a weariness, because it's got to get to some of them. I know it has. You know, I know personally of some that recently are going through some really, really rough times right now. One of them I know is a Sunday-keeping preacher who actually, the government took his 501c3 away, and now they're attacking him again because he exposes the Vatican. But keep him in prayer. His name is Tony Lamo, I think. I don't know the man personally, but what he's going through is obvious. He's exposing Rome. They tried to stop him by removing his 501c3 years ago and threw him behind bars for 4 years, but... So keep him in your prayers. Hopefully he'll come to the true understanding of the Lord's law and keep the Sabbath as well. Because I think I'm pretty sure he's a Sunday keeper. Tony Olamo Ministry, just something like that. But he is not trustworthy in regards to his doctrinal stand or anything like that. He's just going through literal hell on earth. They got him behind bars again. Olamo, I think his name is. But he's not a Sabbath keeper, but still. No, he's not the boot person. The Tony Lama thing, no. So continuing, Sister White says, the continual worry is wearing out the life forces. Our Lord desires them to lay aside the yoke of bondage. He invites them to accept his yoke. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Worry is blind and cannot discern the future, but Jesus sees the end from the beginning. Isn't that neat? That's something we've always wanted to do, but we can't. So if you trust him, he has seen the end from the beginning. So trust him, because he's the one that's going to have the reins anyway. And worry's not only blind, it glorifies itself. I don't know how many times, even before I was a Christian, I would worry about certain situations. And I would always think it was 10 times worse. You know, I would always think a lot worse end results would be my lot. And then when the thing finally did land in my lap, it was nowhere near as bad as I thought it would be. It was still rough, but it was nowhere near as bad. However, the other toss of the coin is that Sister White does mention in somewhere in her writings that the time of Jacob's trouble is a lot worse than you actually could imagine. That's why it's so important to get close to him now. It's in the Great Controversy? All right. Anyway, she goes on by saying, if in every difficulty... he has his way prepared to bring relief. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Matthew 11, verse 30, and Psalms 84, verse 11. And that right there is something that I, you know, am blessed by. You know, this blesses my heart when I read it so much, I'm putting it on my desktop. think about that. This is what I was saying earlier. This is the exact same thing that I was saying earlier. If you keep his law, if you are obedient to your God, and you do everything to the best of your knowledge, if you know that's wrong to do, then just simply don't do it, then he will not hold any good thing from you. Because the key here is if you walk uprightly. That's one of the amazing things about our, this is why I always like to say, you know, I like having my Lord answer my prayers, you know, my Father answer my prayers. Because people ask me, well, why don't you do it? Oh, it's no big deal. It's just, you know, a little white lie. He says, no, white, green, purple, orange, whatever color it is, it's a lie. And I don't want to jeopardize my relationship with my Heavenly Father because I like having my prayers answered. I don't want to start worrying because if I'm not there with him, if I'm not walking uprightly, then when I get on my knees and I'm asking him for prayer, the devil's going to have that thing yapping in my ear saying, look, you know, you sinned the other day, Bubba, and you're not going to be able to, he's not going to answer your prayer. You know, and even if you do sin the other day, You know, it's the Lord has said that if you confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So again, get on your knees and do like David did. Just, you know, dust yourself off, get back to work as if you never committed a sin, because you never committed a sin in his eyes when he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. It doesn't mean it's okay to go ahead and do it again, though, either. She goes on by saying, our Heavenly Father has 1,000 ways to provide for us, of which we know nothing. Those who accept the one principle of making the service of God supreme will find perplexities vanish in a plain path before their feet. The faithful discharge of today's duties is the best preparation for tomorrow's trials. Let me reread that for you there. The faithful discharge of today's duties is the best preparation for tomorrow's trials. In other words, keep your nose to the grindstone. Don't worry about it. It's going to get rough, regardless if you're good or bad. It's best to you may as well be a Christian and go through the trials, because that way at least you can go through the trials with smiles and knowing that you have a Heavenly Father to fall back on. And it's so much better that way. Let me see if I can, I'm noticing a little bit of drop off here. I want to knock it down to 11 kilobits. Maybe that'll help. So, the faithful discharge, well, I already read that, so let me go. Right, do not gather tomorrow, she says, do not gather together all tomorrow's liabilities and cares and add them to the burden of today. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, because think about this. How many of us have had extremely difficult situations and you think you're never going to get out of this one, and it's, you know, like you don't have two nickels to rub together, the electric bill's due, they're going to shut the phone off, you're going to get evicted, whatever, you know. And how many of us have seen the Lord come through, even though sometimes we don't even acknowledge him as doing it, because some friend might walk up and say, you know, I forgot, I owed you a few $100 in here. Because that's happened to us a few times, out of the blue. Because things can happen and change in a New York minute, as they say in today's world, right? You know, just as bad as it can all of a sudden turn around and go crazy in a New York minute, it can get exceptionally good in a New York minute. So you always have to sit at the edge of your seat waiting for your Father to respond, because he will. It's like I always said, sometimes you do get the ticket to the train when the train pulls in the station. So what? Go to the station anyway. It's going to show up. The train's going to be there. So you know if the train's coming, you know the ticket's going to be there. She says, let us be hopeful and courageous. Despondency in God's service is sinful and unreasonable. He knows our every necessity. To the omnipotence of the King of Kings, our covenant-keeping God unites the gentleness and care of the tender shepherd. His power is absolute, and it is the pledge of the sure fulfillment of his promises to all who trust him. And there's another key, to all who trust him. There's always that one thing there. You can't just say, well, you know, if God doesn't do that, then he's not there. You know, so many people do that, but they just don't trust him. It's like the person jumping off the roof saying, you know, Lord, I've got 30, 29, 28, 27 feet. You know, the only thing that's going to stop your fall is the ground if you don't trust him. He has means, she says, for the removal of every difficulty, that those who serve him and respect the means he employs may be sustained. His love is as far above all other love as the heavens are above the earth. He watches over his children with a love that is measureless and everlasting. And I like the way she puts that. She goes, he has the means for removal of every difficulty that those who serve him and respect the means he employs may be sustained. In other words, we always want this or want that in regards to getting our prayers answered. Oh, Lord, I will do this for you if you do that and do this and do this. A lot of times, and it's usually 9 out of 10 times, what you want isn't what you need. So you have to trust him and respect the means that he employs when he answers your prayer. He may not answer the prayer the way you dictate. It's going to be the way he sees is best. He is your Father. He knows what is needed and what is not needed. She says, in the darkest days, when appearances seem most forbidding, have faith in God. He is working out his will, doing all things well in behalf of his people. The strength of those who love and serve him will be renewed day by day. It's not year by year. Like all of a sudden he doesn't drop $50,000 in the lap and say, oh, your year's made. Don't worry about it. You got a whole year, kick back, grow hair. No, that is not how he works. It's day by day. Even an alcoholic knows that. You know, when they don't trust God and they do that Alcoholics Anonymous thing, and it's, you know, they do the day-by-day thing, you know. If they can come up with such a reality of such things, but they're only using the flesh in that respect, which is a sad thing. You know, they're only using the flesh. Without him, it's going to be a very strong struggle day by day. So finishing this up, she says, he is able and willing to bestow upon his servants all the help they need. He will give them the wisdom which their varied necessities demand, said the tried apostle Paul. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Wrap your brain around that one. Praise the Lord. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. And think about that. That is when Jesus is most closest to you and when you are your strongest. Because you're going through something and you're using your own strength that he has given you to stand firm. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not I can do all things through I who strengthen me. It's Christ. It is Christ our righteousness. Hope and pray you were blessed. Be back in a minute.